At the start of the pandemic in March 2020, the Femme Frontera showcase was unsure of its future. They decided to power through and ended up hosting a great showcase. And today we're going to check in with one of Femme Frontera's organizers, Angie Resatures, and two featured filmmakers, Xochitl Rodriguez and Jackie Barragan. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you.
So, Angie, you just got some good news. You want to share it with us before we continue on with this awesome interview?
Absolutely. So, Femme Frontera, around March, we were approached by the Ford Foundation, who expressed interest in supporting our mission and what we do. And now it's November, and we're so, so proud to announce that officially we have received $80,000 to be used over the next 2 years to support our programming.
That is the coolest news ever. I mean, to think you went from like, are we going to do this year, to how do we do this year, to, okay, you did it and you got this big fat award. You got to feel really good right now.
Yes. Lots of celebrating today.
Yes. Yes. Amazing. Yes. That's, I mean, congratulations. So tell us about this year's event, your journey through it, and how it ended up.
In March, when the pandemic hit, we were like, well, I guess it's a good year to take off, you know? And it was literally Ford that called and was like, you might want to rethink that plan. And so I was like, okay, sure. Got the team together, and then we hit the ground running. And I think one of the biggest concerns that I had was that we weren't going to be able to recreate the atmosphere that we have become known for at our showcases, which is warm and inclusive and inviting and all of these wonderful things that the filmmakers, our staff, everyone creates. And so I thought there's no way we're going to be able to recreate that online. But in speaking again with, you know, our festival staff and with the team members and with supporters and other filmmakers, you know, people were like, don't worry about that. Just continue doing the work that you do, and it'll come. And I'm so glad that we received that kind of advice and support, because absolutely, I mean, it was such a wonderful, warm showcase, and everyone was so real and raw and vulnerable and willing to be together and to express how they're feeling at this time and seek support from each other. So I think it was actually one of the most beautiful showcases that we've ever had. And these two ladies are powerhouses, and they it's so exciting to have them on board, and their support and their warmth is just, there's so much to be said there already.
Well, let's talk about it. Jackie, tell us about your film and your project. Did you put it together during the pandemic, or did you already have this going?
I guess that the idea had been brewing for a while, for a very, very long time, because I grew up listening to the story about my mother and my godmother, my madrina. And then, you know, I've talked to a few people, including Angie, about the idea. And when they did the Frijol Feast, the Caldo Collective, which Xochitl's, you know, she's the director of that, Angie, you know, sent me an email and was like, you need to apply for this. Like, your concept is a good concept. And, you know, she was a very encouraging person, the reason why I decided to just take a jump and do something that I've never done before. And so I went through the application process and developed my idea, and then presented it in front of the Caldo Collective, which was a beautiful event. It's such an amazing organization that Xochitl started. And so I got voted to receive the micro grant, and that was just this confirmation to just keep going. There was a moment after COVID happened and quarantine was going on where I had a conversation with Angie, and I was talking to her about it, you know, how is this going to change production? How am I going to be able to interview people, you know, in a safe way? And is it going to get in the way of me making this film? And she really encouraged me. She had some very supportive words, and eventually she just said, you know, sit on it and think about it. And I did exactly that. And I thought, like, it's now or never, and I'll figure out solutions to this whole quarantine thing. And so, yeah, so I just went forward and did it.
How did it affect your production?
I ended up having to learn a lot of things on my own.
Right. I mean, we're here. We're all here. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, it was really a great challenge, because I learned how to do so many new skills, and it was an incredible learning process. I learned how to edit and work with audio equipment and edit audio and do the cinematography. And the one interview that I had, it was just my tia and my mother, and Steve Osborne helped me with that one particular interview. He came in with a mask and set up equipment. He said, it's all you. You're on your own. Peace. He took off and I was there, you know, like trying to learn how to work the cameras and make sure the audio is recording. And so it was a challenge and it was a great learning experience to learn how to do everything like that.
Mm-hmm. Sachit, what about you? Tell us about your project.
My project is Grown Without Water, also years in the making, I'd say. I was very fortunate also to have Angie say, you have no choice. This is a beautiful project. You have. It started as a poem. I've always written and never stopped writing, no matter what. And so I had this poem that had poured out of me like in 3 days when I got just a little feeling that I wanted to tell a story a different way. And I showed it to Angie. And of course, I said, well, this is going to be a movie. And she was like, I don't know. Let's talk about it. At the same time, she was like, absolutely, this is going to be a film. And the primary concept actually was to tell the story of my family and some of the things that we've faced in our life. And quickly, I knew that I couldn't do that, partially because a lot of that story is not mine to tell. And secondarily, because I don't think I will ever know how to tell it, right? Like, I hope that my whole life is a process of figuring out how to tell that story. But I did latch on and understand that there was a story to be told, and the idea that we're so afraid to tell our stories, and we have not had a lot of practice telling our stories outside of safe spaces like our kitchens and our dining room tables. And I did start the Caldo Collective because I believe in the power of a shared feast and a shared meal. So I dug into like that heart center that I have of gathering with women especially, and cooking together and eating together. That's how I was raised. And the film quickly became a grant proposal. And I actually was funded by the Mid-America Arts Alliance through their interchange program, which is made possible by the Andrew T. Mellon Foundation. And it was funded with $20,000. So I was able to secure the DP that made magic happen, Riley Ingeman and Randy McGuire, who I've worked with now for like 7 years for sound. And the vision for it was that it would be a dream and that I would be able to tell a story without actually telling the story and just take people through really like a pretty regular day in my life, which so often for me, I've learned probably to other people might appear as a dream, might not seem real. And I was really wanting to like hunker down into this idea of the things that we inherit from our mothers and the way they shape the way we mother. I have you all of you on this call know that I have a beautiful 7-year-old daughter. It's a real thing to write a grant about this thing you can't name. But there was a lot of other facets to the project. The film was actually the culminating element. But it wound up being a beautiful process with literally no binnacle or compass any part of the way through until kind of the very bitter end of realizing that I'm telling a story about the stories that can't be told and honoring the women who aren't able to tell their stories, which I think is so beautiful to place that narrative aside, like next to Jackie's narrative and like the power in both of those circumstances, which every woman, especially brown women, is like so familiar with, right? I thought that was like a beautiful opportunity, of course, for Femme Frontera to show these two sides of the situation and to show these two sides of the way brown women share and the way the brown women experience the world, right? And pass that on and on and on.
So all of you told the same story. I mean, with Angie, it's we may or may not be doing this thing. Jackie, you too. Sochi, you too. Yeah. Also, none of us know what the heck we're doing, but guess what? We're going to do it. Where does that come from?
I mean, I think we've been doing it our whole lives, right? Like it's the way we're built to survive and the way we're built to create, especially in communities where so little is accessible to us. We don't have like big, you want to be a producer? Here's a workshop next weekend. Come on down. Or like, we don't have those opportunities, right? And so I'm just going to speak for you too, because I've seen you do it and you could say no if you want, but we're used to just like, oh, pivot. Oh, I have no idea what that is, but let me sit with it for a second. And it speaks obviously to the brilliance in Angie and Jackie as well, of being able to learn through it and work through it and build it no matter what, come hell or high water.
Yeah, and I think quarantine was just another reminder of how precious life is, and COVID, and just knowing that, you know, Angie had this really deep conversation with me. This is an opportunity to reach people and women and talk about these very important. My intention was to inspire our community to see themselves in a resilient way, and also to talk about sexual violence and the lack of justice that happens. And it would be really easy to just dream about that and just keep going on my day to day. But it's always in the back of my head, like pulling me to shed light on this very important part of my life and my mother's life. And COVID and quarantine really put things into perspective that we can't take life for granted. We can't take opportunities for granted. And it's just better to just jump.
Angie, you're the common thread. And I had several phone calls with you where you're like, I don't know. But yet here you are pushing everybody else to do it.
Yeah. I'm like, hold up, I want to talk about that for a second.
So true. You know, I mean, I think, and I know that I've had conversations with Jackie and Zochi about this as well, just as friends, is that there's always an element of doubt of, am I going to be able to do this? And it's so rare that we get to see ourselves in the media, you know, brown women who are beating the odds and who are doing great things. And it's not a common story. You don't hear about it often. So sometimes, I mean, it's so cliche, but it's true. If you don't see it, you don't believe it. You don't know it. So I think it's always so easy to just kind of pass it off as a dream, or, you know, something that maybe you'll do later down the line, as soon as like you've earned that confidence and that ability to do it. You know, and for me, I mean, I did push them sometimes, I think, a little too hard, but it was just kind of like, come on, ladies, you can do this. Like,
find us crying in the corner.
It was amazing. Yeah. It was really amazing to be on this ride with my fellow, like, you guys are family. You're from the same land with similar ancestors. And, you know, we have, it's just beautiful to be a part of this community. And we're on this ride together. And Angie, honestly, I don't know if I would have taken this leap of faith if Angie didn't come back from San Francisco and start the Femme Frontera Film Festival.
We were just talking about this today. I would not have. Like,
yeah, I don't think I would have at all.
And like, mm-hmm. Jack and I are now facing, right, the distribution part of our film. And like, mm-hmm. we just got to go out now. And we've got to find other festivals. And like, it's whatever. There's an aspect of my film that has nothing to do with film festivals, and it will get delivered into people's homes to be viewed at home, but I still have to do the film festival route. And I was just telling Angie today, like, it's a whole other thing to put this work, which for both Jackie and I, they're like deeply personal projects. Our mom's faces are on screen, right? And in my case, my daughter is like, she's the central character of the whole thing. It is super scary for the exact reason Angie mentioned, right? Like, it's not usual to see these stories. It's not usual to see these bodies, these spaces, this time, especially being that we both shot our films in El Paso. So there's elements of like El Paso, and we know that El Paso now it's a beacon for the people who are seeing things right. For other folks, you don't know what they're going to think or say or do. And when a project is so deeply personal, it's a little bit mortifying. And so now here we go, like, a random festival in Philly. Okay, I'll send it there, I guess.
Here, I feel like we're still in like my abuelita's kitchen. It's all safe and comfortable. That's what Angie built for us, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad she did, and I'm glad that you all took the chance, and I'm glad that you all have films out in the universe. And Angie, thank you for being that vehicle for so many women. Today, my guests have been Sochi Rodriguez, Jackie Barragan, and Angie Reza Torres. Thank you for coming to State of the Arts.
Thank you.
Thank you.